we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Everybody, you remember what happened last week with Pamela Kinney? Was that 2 weeks ago? Remember what happened 2 weeks ago with Pamela Kinney? Anybody shout it out? She was baptized. Y'all know what happened this week with Pamela Kinney's daughter, Sammy? She got baptized at youth camp this week. Let's give a hand, a clap for that. Isn't that awesome? Love it. Love it. Look at somebody and say, love it. I love that. I love it. It's my favorite. Welcome to Redemption Church. We are not a mega church, but you better believe we are a mighty church here in Plano, Texas. And I am one happy dude because the Lord has put happiness in my heart. I remember a time in my life where I wasn't happy, but I remember when the Lord put happiness in my heart. My smile is a legit smile. I don't have to put on airs. God really has put joy. He's put the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am loved by God. He's put peace in my heart. He's put all these things. Am I the only happy person in the house today? Does that describe anyone else that God has done that for you? Man, let me tell you, I'm not happy because I know I've got myself together. I'm not happy because I think I am just that impressive of a person. None of that is true. I'm happy because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, all the way. I pray that you encounter God's joy today. We're in the middle of the Unexpected series. Right. Unexpected. Rather than review any past sermons, I invite you to check out those sermons on our website, redemption-church.com. Just click on sermons and you'll be right there. Have you ever noticed that expectations usually come true? There's something about when you expect something, it usually happens. And sometimes that's a good thing, and then sometimes that's not such a great thing, right? Recently, in fact, while I was writing the sermon, I was thinking about this day several weeks ago when the memorial was happening in Dallas over the Dallas Five, the five officers that were shot in that terrible act of violence. And I remember there was an outcry all over the social media, shock, right? An outcry over outrage and shock on social media. Who thought that would ever happen? But the current, at that day, The outrage was that current President Barack Obama and former President George W. Bush both spoke at the memorial. And the social media buzz was over their speeches. I noticed something in response of the people. Now I'm just a dude living in the Metroplex, but this is what I perceived, and let's see if you agree with it. If you were a blue Democrat, it seemed like you really loved President Obama's speech. It's already tense. Oh my gosh, she's talking about politics at church. Calm down. Calm down. Vicky, it's all right. Sit back down. It's all right. She's not really standing, internet. I'm just kidding. If you're a blue Democrat, you're like, my goodness, it's about time we have that kind of eloquence back in the White House. Like posting that all over the internet. And if you're a red Republican, it seemed like you were less than thrilled with the very same speech. How does that president think gun control is an appropriate topic for a memorial service? Like post that all over the internet. Same speech, right? And also, if you're a red Republican, it seemed like you were glowing about George W.'s speech. I miss that kind of sincerity in our politicians, right? Or if you were a blue Democrat, it seemed like you were less than impressed. What in the world was George doing dancing with Michelle Obama as they played His Truth Is Marching On? What was he thinking? Raise your hand if you notice anything like that going on anywhere on your web browser interface, interwebs, anyone? All right, maybe I'm the only one, just me and Dwight. All right. How can there be such a divide over the same speeches? What is that about? I mean, you look at this country, you can almost cut this country right down the half. It is so divided. And if you're a blue person or a red person, we pretty much know how you're going to respond. That's kind of the world that we're living in. I offer you the thought that people seem to receive what they expect. All right. The blue Democrat they expected to like what Obama said, and they expected not to like what President Bush said, and vice versa. The red Republican decided, had an expectation that he would not like what the blue president had to say, instead would love what the red former president had to say. Is that crazy to believe that human nature could be so locked into what we expect that it ends up being affecting how we perceive things? Is that such a crazy idea? Our expectations have a lot to do with how we receive information. Our expectations have a lot to do with how we receive situations. Our expectations have a lot to do with how we receive people. There are some people that they aren't even received because someone had a predetermined expectation about them. People receive what they expect. Look at somebody and say, hey, people receive what they expect. People receive what they expect. And if you're married, turn or engaged, why don't you just turn and say, and you are good looking. All right. I'll wait. That's important. Marriages are important. All right. I am saying that the expectation of the listener greatly affected their opinion of a speech in Dallas, Texas, at a memorial service for police officers. This becomes all the more dangerous when we divide our nation into red and blue states. It seems in this current political climate, we can't even listen to each other because we have already prejudged based on our expectation. This is dangerous. I suggest we should cut it out. Y'all are expecting me to say that more authoritatively. That was the least Pentecostal thing I've ever said in my life. I suggest we should cut it out, guys. You may have a preconceived expectation that will affect this moment right now. I could be described as a white Christian pastor from Texas. And some of you might say, oh, that man is a pastor. He's a man of God. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Because you've got that expectation in your heart. But meanwhile, others might say, that guy's a pastor. I bet he's robbing this church right now and we just don't know about it. And that scandal's going to come out about it. And I'm going to be like, I told you so. You can't trust a fluid. Some of them are like, amen in that in the house. They're right on it. Before I say a word, your expectation has a lot to do with the success or failure of this sermon. Before we ever get to like an altar where we pray with people, people's expectations have already come into play. What God wants to do in your life, it can be roadblocked by your expectations. Today, I want to talk to you about a God who overcomes your expectations. Whatever your expectation is today, I want to tell you God has the power to overcome it. Do you want Him to? Open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. Open your Bibles. That includes phones. You can do that, or you can always look at the screens. 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet here is Elijah. Don't get confused with Elisha. Elijah comes before Elisha. We're talking about Elijah right now. All right, and he is giving marching orders by God. God tells him to do something. Right here, verse 9 of 1 Kings 17. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Next verse. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? Verse 11. As she was going to get it, the drink, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Verse 12. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug, and I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we will eat it and die. I imagine she had a little sass in her voice when she said that. Can you imagine a little sass maybe? Now let's see if we understand this story so far. Verse 1 tells us that God sends his prophet. And he didn't send like a slouch backwoods prophet. He sent Elijah. This is some prophet right here. Prophet who did amazing miracles, who was never wrong. We could just wow ourselves by recounting some of the amazing miracles that Elijah did. And he sends this Elijah prophet to a certain city. Not only that, to a certain person, to a widow. And then God, on the other side of this situation, God says that he commanded a widow to supply him food. So God did a little talking to the widow. Isn't that what it said? It said it in verse 1. Looking on, verse 2, he spots the widow at the gate. Let me give you a little clue here. When God tells you to go do something and you go do it, and what he tells you would happen is right there in front of you, you don't mess around and go, well, is that really it? Is that the one? No, notice God tells him to look for a widow. A widow's going to provide him food. He sees a widow at the gate. He just knows immediately that's her, and he goes up to her. That's some boldness. That's some expectation. All right, and so what does he ask for first? He asks for water. All right, that's great. She's going to get him water. And while she's going to get him water in verse 3, please, can I also have some bread? And that's when everything changed. But before verse 4 happens, can we agree? So far, this story is pretty awesome. Yeah. So far, this story is pretty great. Everything is as God has said. Don't you want that kind of life? I like days like that where God says, this is going to happen. Go do it. And I go do it and it happens just like God said. Have you ever experienced that? It is a powerful, wonderful thing. You want to hear God's voice like that. God still talks like that. God still tells people, go here and I'm going to show you a person. And they go do it and God saves somebody. It still happens. All right? Am I in a church that believes that today? It still happens. Praise God. So everything has happened as God has said. In fact, at this point, it almost seems too easy. It seems like easy. It's like, okay, go here. All right, I've done it. There's the person. All right, bing, bang, boom. Everything's awesome. Have you ever experienced that? It's awesome when it happens. Let me tell you, it's usually short-lived. The easiness is usually short-lived. Enjoy it while it's happening, because it's usually short-lived. Verse 4, I don't have any bread. I only have enough to make one final meal for me and my son. We will eat it, and then we're just going to die. That's what she said. How can someone say that? What does this widow expect? She expects to die. I'll get what I can out of today, and then I'm going to die. I'll get what I can out of life, but I'm not expecting much. Then I'm going to die. People usually receive what they expect. It is also good to point out here that in the ancient world, widows, she's a widow, widows either found someone to take care of them, or they died. Or there's a third option, they became some kind of prostitute, and then died. There wasn't a lot of hope for a widow. So she is expecting actually what the world says is going to happen. She's expecting the natural order of the world around her with the cruelty of this world, the cruelty of humanity. I'm just expecting that. So let's not be too hard on her. She's been through a lot already. But you have to admit, she is not trying to change the situation. She is merely collecting sticks for that one last meal and then die. It is also interesting, what does she say in verse 4? She says, as surely as the Lord your God lives. Anybody notice that? She did not say, the Lord my God lives. You see, there's a big difference between your God and my God. That is an entirely different declaration. All right. Now let's understand this. God sent his prophet to the woman. God spoke to this woman to provide food. Yet she didn't let that affect her. She is seeing as much marvel here as Elijah is seeing. She's seeing, heard from God, I'm going to send you somebody. You provide food. He comes right up to her and asks for food. She ought to be seeing a miracle right in front of her. God spoke to this woman. She didn't let it affect her. Why? Because of her expectations. She bypassed God, she bypassed his prophet and the message, and went to collect sticks that laid no future up for her. Yeah. I tell you what, I hate seeing people waste their energy on a no good future. Right. I hate seeing people waste their energy on a relationship that's got no future. I hate seeing people waste their energy on a drug habit that's only going to lead them to death. I hate seeing people waste all their energy on bitterness and unforgiveness. It's only going to lead you to depression and suicide. We've seen it time and time again. Oh, I'm just picking up these sticks, you know, because I'm about to die after my last meal, prophet. My goodness, that's what's going on. Your expectations could cause you to miss everything that God is doing right now. It doesn't matter if God speaks to you, if God says, I'm going to show you, if God works a miracle, hangs it right in front of your face. If you will live by your expectations, you can miss what God is wanting to do. And you'll end up collecting your sticks for your last meal as well. God is on the scene, but are we hindering him with our low expectations? God is on the scene, but instead of listening to him and following him, are we picking up sticks? We must change our expectations. How do we do that? How do we do that? 1 Kings 17:13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Yeah. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. Verse 14, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. See, there was a famine, there was a drought in the land, there was no rain because of Elijah and God speaking through him. And so he tells her something miraculous right here. Pause here. Can I just say that it isn't all fun and games being a servant of the Lord? It isn't all fun and games when God talks to you. I mean, you can be bold and it feels good to know that the Lord has got your back and he's behind you. But let me tell you, the Lord asks you to do some things sometimes that are nerve-wracking. Do you see in this story? The woman only has enough ingredients for a final meal, and this prophet has the gall to walk up and ask, hey, bake me a cake. It's in there. You read it. Make me a cake first, and then what's left over, make that for your family. Can we see how that might could seem a little rude, a little self-serving of the ministry right there, right? My God, if that happened today, it would be all over Yahoo, and Pastor Joel Osteen asked the widow to make him a cake first before she, like, we would come down so hard on that dude. Yeah, we would wag your head, yeah, and up and down, because we are hard on the ministry in this world today. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Can I also tell you, for Elijah, if you don't know that you know that you know that God said that, there's no way in the world would you say that. That is the scariest thing in the world to say. You make me a cake first. My gosh, I've read this story so many times and I've wondered, God, would I actually have the guts to say, make me a cake first? Believing God is one thing, but then believing God is another thing. Y'all know what I'm saying. But can I tell you that Elijah, the prophet of God, he expected God to do everything that God had told him. He didn't have to rethink it. He didn't have to worry. He just expected it. He has been through this before. This isn't his first rodeo. This isn't the first time he's heard God. This isn't the first time God has told him to do something wacky and crazy. This isn't the first time. So what he did, he got his marching orders, and he just expected God to do everything that he said he would do. Pause for a second. Do you know what your Bible says? Do you expect God to do everything that your Bible says? Does anybody expect God to heal people anymore? Does anybody expect God to raise people from the dead anymore? Do you expect one day a trumpet to sound and Jesus Christ split the sky open? Do you expect that? It's in your Bible. It's in the Word of God. Do we expect it? Oh, man, do you expect that he is faithful and just to forgive you when you confess your sins? I cannot stand it when I see a Christian that has all kinds of faith in the world except for faith for God to heal them and forgive them and love them. What is that? That's an expectation problem right there, because they have the Word of God. They have the same God that spoke to Elijah, and he's right there on the written page. He's right there waiting for them to pray. He's right there all the time, waking up every morning with a new mercy from this very same God, yet believing something else because of their expectation. Well, you just don't know. I'm an awful person, and God would never love someone like me. What are you even talking about? You better change your expectation, all right? You can snap with me if you want, all right? He said the difficult thing because he had faith in God. Let me tell you, being a servant of God, trusting God, living for God, there's sometimes he tells you to say some things. You're like, could we have a rewrite of this script a little bit? Could we maybe rework this? How about you had an angel say this one, and I'll be present. How about I say, the angel of the Lord appeareth, and then the angel says the nasty thing. That's a good idea. I don't care what you think, Joseph. That's a good idea. Here's what you need to do. Do not chicken out. Expect God. There have been times in my life where I have followed God, and there have been times in my life I have chickened out. My biggest regrets in life are the places where I chickened out. I can take you to some places where I chickened out. I don't like that I chickened out. There have been some people God told me to speak to. I didn't. I chickened out. I can take you to the moment. I regret every moment of it. Can I tell you, I've never regretted following God. I've never regretted speaking up and saying what he told me to say. I've never regretted looking in the Bible and say, okay, God, you said this, I'm going to do this. I've never regretted it. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's a miracle right there. That's a miracle. All right. So get this, I told you that we have a God who overcomes our expectation. Here's something you need to know. Faith-filled obedience changes your expectations. Your expectations change when you obey God's word. Even though she has some belief issues, she obeyed. Now, where are we doing in Christianity where we believe but we don't obey? Pushes glasses up, looks around the room, right? That's Christianity, a large sum of Christianity today. All belief and no obedience. But obedience is what changes the expectation in this story. When you start operating on faith, it will change your expectations. When you look to a higher wisdom than your own, that's when your expectations will change. When you look to a greater strength, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. When you start looking to God and obeying what he says, let me tell you, it'll change your expectations. I'll tell you what, it won't be long. You start doing that, you'll be walking around like an Elijah. You'll be walking around with a swagger that says, God, you send me, I'm your man, I'm your woman, I will go and do it. Faith-filled obedience. I'm not talking about trying to save yourself by works here. I'm trying to tell you that you just have an expectation and a faith in your heart that you're just going to follow God and trust whatever He does. Whatever He says to do is always going to do much better than what I could do on my own. Can anybody say amen to that? Moving on to verse 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. Just when you think the story like was happy and we have a happy ending to the story and they all said amen. No, it's not over yet. The boy died. That innocent little child, the one you read about earlier and said, oh, it's so sad that widow and her son are going to, he's dead. He's dead. Right now, verse 18, she said to Elijah, what does she say to Elijah? She says, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Whoa. It's not so fun always being the servant of God. Amen?
Amen.
This is a high-pressure situation. Not everybody's going to like you, all right? Did you come to remind me of my son and then kill my son? Who killed her son? She thinks it's Elijah. My goodness. Hold on a moment. I want to remind you real quick. God has done her nothing but good in this story. The word of Elijah has been nothing but gold in this story. And everything that God's done, everything that Elijah has said has lined up. Now her son is dead. And she is angry. But wait, do we remember what her original expectation was? What was her original expectation? We're going to eat a meal and then we're going to die. All right, I'm sorry, widow, wherever you are in the universe of where God's keeping you right now. But listen, you expected for you both to be dead. And now, later, you're dead. Your son's dead, but it is Elijah's fault. Do you see the problem here? Do you see the disconnect here? Her plan in the first place was for her son to die after one final meal. And that didn't happen. But later, it did. Can I tell you, our expectations are often faulty. Our expectations are a little messed up sometime. That she expects to die, then that doesn't happen, but then it does happen, so it's got to be God's fault. There's a lot of people in life, they are hit with tragedy, and it's God's fault. They're hit with tragedy, it's the church's fault or the pastor's fault. It's someone else's fault, right? Bad things happen in life. The Lord says, in this world you will have trouble. We can talk about that some other time. But here's what I want to point out. She makes a crazy jump that God must have something against her. Even though this same God has rescued her. She mistakenly expects that God has killed her son. And done it to remind her of her sin. Even though this same God has fed them supernaturally. Her expectation just doesn't even make sense at this point. It doesn't even follow the reason. It doesn't even follow the history. It doesn't even follow the proof that we have so far. Yeah, God wants to remind you of your sin so bad that He gave you a supernatural miracle in your cupboard. Doesn't make any sense. We need God to change our expectations because let's be honest, our expectations are usually wrong. Our expectations are usually faulty. Our expectations are usually done messed up, all right? Just totally messed up. You ever meet someone who thought God hated them? Have you?
Yeah.
I've known Christians like that. I've known them. Sad. Or that God was going to get them in some mean, judgmental, vindictive way. You know, I'm serving God, but you know, Oh, I did something when I was 14 years old. I know God's out for me. I know I'm 57 now, but I'm looking over my back because I know He remembers what I did. Now, that sounds crazy, but people are like that. People are like that. We knew a person that looked my dad in the eyes and said, I'm going to hell. after going to a church service. No, I'm just going to hell. That's just what it is. What is your expectation? And what is your view of God here? It's crazy. None of that stuff is true about God. None of that stuff is true about God. But your faulty expectations become the lens through which you see everything around you, including the Lord of glory. God needs to change our faulty expectations. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want to tell you also this. Coming through trouble changes your expectations. I think it was Andre Crouch said, if I never had any problems, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word. We hate trouble, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm preaching your sermon. We hate trouble.
All right.
But God can use trouble in a good way. He can change us through the trouble. You can be tried in the fire, but come out as pure gold. There's so many scriptures that we could look at, but let's look at our chapter here, verse 19. Elijah says, give me your son. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Verse 20. Then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Verse 21, then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry and the boy's life returned to him and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. All right. There's a lot going on here, but now she knows that Elijah is legit. Dot, dot, dot. Until the next problem. But dot, dot, dot. She still hasn't maybe learned that God's word is true. That's the bigger thing to learn here. More than Elijah being true, God is true. God loves us. All right. Regardless of all that, you need a now I know moment. You need a now I know moment to get over expectations that drag you down in life. We hate trouble, but I have good news for you. On the other side of your trouble is a now I know moment. Some of you, you've tried to share with your kids wisdom that came from going through trouble. You had a now I know wisdom to give them. Maybe they received it, maybe they didn't. But there is something about coming through trouble. You have a now I know moment. People in life go, man, had I only known then what I knows now, right? We've heard it, we've said it, right? We've tattooed it on our left leg, Marshall. All right, is there a witness in the building who went through a trial and a test, but they came through it with a now I know testimony? Anybody got that? Raise your hand real quick, all over this house. I've got a now I know kind of testimony where I went through this and now I know this about God. I went through this and now I know this about God's faithfulness. I went through this and now I know this about the Word of God. I went through this and now I know that prayer works. I went through this and now I know. Now I know He's a healer. Now I know He's a deliverer. Now I know He can do anything. Now I know that He loves me and will forgive me. Now I know He can use me. God wants you to have a now I know moment today. He wants you to have that. And not just in that, He doesn't want it to just exist in that vacuum of time. He wants it to happen in your life and change the trajectory of every other thing in your life. You see, that's what happens when your expectation changes. You see, when you expect this from God, it changes how you walk every day. It changes how you pray. It changes how you worship. It changes how you listen to other people's problems. It changes everything. It's a now I know moment. I want to review with you. Faith-filled obedience changes your expectations. Our expectations, they're often faulty. Can I pause for a moment here and tell you, all of our expectations in here are below God's expectations.
That's good. Amen.
You can be a Christian all your life, but let me tell you, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Whatever your expectation is, He is able to overcome it. He's able to rise above it. He's able to supersede it. Whatever the expectation of the doctor is, God is able to go above it. He's able to do what cancer research has never been able to do. He is able to do what the divorce attorney has told you. God is able to rise above that expectation. Which expert's opinion are you going to go on? How about the one that created the entire world? He spoke it into being. Why not trust that guy? Our expectations are usually faulty. Coming through trouble, it changes your expectations. And finally, after all of this, there needs to be a moment in your life where you have a now I know moment. There are some things you go through. I remember the one time, I remember the first time God spoke to me so undeniably, and I trusted Him in it, and I answered what He told me to do, and God moved and saved somebody, and it was powerful, and it was great. Guess what? Now I know what God's voice sounds like. Now I know that I can trust Him. Now I know, God, whenever you speak to me like that, God, you go right ahead and speak to me, and I'm going to do my best to be instantly answering to your call.
Yeah.
Instantly. Why? Because now I know. Now I know. You see, what's really bad is to this woman, so far, might not have ever had a now I know moment, really. I mean, she said now I know, but let's face it, she had the first miracle, right? Oh man, my cupboards are full. But then the next thing happens, she's mad at God and mad at His prophet again. And if another problem came along, I'm not so sure she wouldn't be in the same place. But listen, we shouldn't be like that. We should come to the realization of who He is. We should have the expectation of everything He said about us and how He feels about us. And we should have a now I know moment. That means that the worst in life could happen to you, and you still know that God loves you.
Amen.
That your job lets you go, but you still know that the Lord is your provider.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That your church could like fall off the face of the planet, and God forbid, right? It happens every day where a church has a terrible scandal. Nothing like that going on here. But let me tell you, even if you went through that, let me tell you, you can trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Not because you're just a good Christian, but because you've gone through trouble and you've allowed God to change you and give you a brand new way of thinking. So as I close today, I want to ask you, what do you expect? What is your expectation? Do you have a low ceiling for God to work with? Does He have to like really fight against your low level of faith and expectation? Could you maybe enlarge your ceiling today? Wherever you are, what I've already told you that all of us, our expectations are low to what God can do. Why don't we all challenge ourselves today? God, I believe You can do more than I've ever seen You do before. Why don't you do that today? What do you expect from God? What do you expect He's going to do when you pray? Do you expect a miracle? I cannot stand it. It hurts me in my heart to meet a Christian that doesn't believe in miracles. Do you believe in miracles? Do you expect greater? Do you expect God to use you? Ask God to change your expectation today. Challenge your expectation today. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Number one, we worship God. We receive the Word of God. That's number two. Number three, we talk to God. Now, I want to talk to you expressly before I invite you to talk to God today, all right? Whatever you expect God to do while you are praying, you need to amp it up. You need to rev it up. You need to trust God a little bit more, all right? Let me tell you, there's some things you can do to trust God. You know, the first 2 feet are where you come. If you want special prayer in this house today, you don't have to leave without someone praying with you. You come in the first 2 feet. Let me tell you, some of you have never come in the first 2 feet to ask for prayer. Like, can I just tell you, that might be kind of weird to go to church and never get prayer. It might be kind of weird to be a part of the body of Christ and never come to the altar in your life to ask for prayer. That's kind of a weird thing. If you're sick in your body, the Bible says you should come. If you're worried, you should pray and ask God for wisdom. All this stuff, you should do it. Maybe it's an expectation problem. Maybe you're worried about what other people are going to think. Could you just blow all of that to smithereens today and go past your expectation? Why don't some of you, maybe you feel like sometimes you want to go further in Jesus, but you know, people around you aren't doing that. So that's like holding me back. Maybe if someone else was doing that, then I would join them. No, you need to break past that. You need to break past your expectations. You need to believe that if God is leading you into deeper worship, if God is leading you into intercessory prayer where you're crying and you don't even know why you're crying, that's a biblical thing. It's a biblical thing. That's in Scripture. Let God lead you into that. And finally, I'll say this. That God has been talking to you about using you and you've been fighting that call, you need to break through that expectation today. Whatever you have to do, go do it. And you'll have a now I know moment. These altars are open right now. I'm going to pray for you as you come. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I thank you for your awesome power. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. You're the God that raised that boy from the dead. God, you are that God that provided that flour to never run out, the oil to never run out. God, you are the God that spoke to Elijah. God, you can do all of these things to us, God. You can do all these things in this church. You can do all these things in my family and in my life, God. Lord, I ask you to speak to us, God. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that we would trust you in a brand new way, in a deeper level, God. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would lead us, God, into ministry and lead us, God, into trusting you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give us commands like you gave the widow a command. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us to go like you spoke to Elijah to go. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God. Don't let this moment pass you by. Wherever you are in this room right now, talk to the Lord in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.